God has been very good to us because God is good, not because we are good, but because God is good. Our goodness comes as a result of the life of Jesus that God has given to us because we choose to believe him. So all the blessings that come to my life does not come because of the behavior of my flesh, but because of the union I have with God through his son Jesus Christ, who lives in me and as me. And so through the life of Jesus, I want to share with you this evening. God has been speaking to me concerning this ministry and what's going on in this ministry and what he is doing in this ministry. God is doing some things in this ministry that many people do not understand. And he's shaping it the way he wants it to be shaped. I want to challenge us through the word of God, the messages that have been coming over the last couple of months, last couple of weeks, have been coming because God has a purpose in mind for what he is doing right here. I want to say to all of us tonight that this ministry is no ordinary ministry. It is not your typical church ministry. God has a purpose for what's going on here. That's why this ministry does not look like anything else. There's a reason why this is so. And I'm saying it because God has given me the authority to say it. I want to challenge us tonight with another message. God has called us in this ministry so we can live extraordinary lives. Many people have come to this ministry and have gone. They come back, they go, they come and they go. Until God adjusts people to where he wants them to be. But listen carefully. This ministry is not about typical Christianity. God is reproducing the life of Jesus in people. And until Jesus takes control of individual lives, we cannot be what God wants us to be. Tonight, I want to share with you a message that is preparing us just for this. We are not talking about surface issues. We are going deep in the Word. This Word is supposed to strengthen our spirit. It is not ministering to any fleshly attitudes, but ministering to the Spirit of Christ that is housed in these bodies of clay. We just came through a series on the keys of the kingdom. Many people are serving Christ through the various denominations in the world, but they fail to see the kingdom of God. They are so connected with what's going on in the world that they do not understand that the kingdom is growing around them. And keys are available for the kingdom of God, not for the world. And so we do not see the power of the kingdom in the world because people do not have keys. Those who have keys don't know how to use them. We have a responsibility. The things we are asking God to do, God has given us the power to do through the life of Jesus in us. And I trust that as we hear these messages, we do not just take notes and put them down, but we need to go over these messages, review them, and try to get this word in our life, inside of us, to be the frontlets of our eyes, the guiding force to our decision-making and the things we do in this world. We are not from here. We are not from this world. We were born out of this world, but we were born again from a different world. And our born-again life must take precedence over all that we do here. Last weekend, I spoke to us on this message that God brought because I had something else in mind. But God gave me this message. We have to stop stumbling over ourselves, over what we like and what we want and what we can't receive and what we are frustrated over. Stop stumbling over ourselves because God is not producing ourselves. He's producing Christ inside of us. And many times we become confused because we are focusing so much on self-life, the thing that is seen, while God is working on the thing that is not seen. So while we are stumbling over ourselves, God is doing something else. And we miss him all the time. The messages you are receiving is to prepare you to move with God, to be on God's page. Not on your page, not on my page, but on God's page. I haven't started my message yet, but this thing is in me. We must ask ourselves, how is it that what I am doing right now, what I'm focusing right now, building the kingdom of God, what does it have to do with the kingdom of God? Why should God give me keys to the kingdom if what I am doing, what my main concentration is on, is nothing to do with the kingdom? Why should I have keys to bind and to loose if I'm not consumed with God's kingdom agenda? I won't be able to use keys. Some people are waiting for God to do certain things. Why God is waiting on us to be in the place where he wants us to be. And so tonight, as we hear the word of God, it is my prayer that it will stir up the life of Jesus in us. Do not feel satisfied with nominal Christianity, with a nominal Christian life that just says, well, I believe in Jesus and I know I'm saved. God saved us for something. He didn't save us just to take care of needs and problems and situations. He saves us for himself, for service, so we can be united with him in saving the world. And so with all these things that are welling up in me, the message that I had planned for tonight has been shifted to what God wants me to share with you. So here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give glory to you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. For without you, we can do nothing. Our life comes from you. May we never forget it. Every single day, you are looking for opportunities to bless the world through us, to let your life shine through us, just as it did through our Savior. Tonight, as we listen to this word, may we hear your voice, not the voice of a man, but your voice. And may our spirit connect with this word, and may this word effect change. May there be a major shift in our thoughts concerning who we are in you and what you want of us as your children. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. In the name of Jesus, we cancel every operation of Satan against these lines and against the word that shall be spoken tonight. We bind every demonic force from bringing distraction to every ear, that this word will come through clear and loud, that everyone would receive it in the name of Jesus. And we cancel every work of Satan from preventing this from happening. We give you glory and praise and thanks for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm reading from verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Reading from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I so fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become or should be a castaway. Very powerful words. Very powerful words indeed. Do you know that we are all running in a race? Paul is asking the question. He said, they run in a race, all run, but only one received the prize. That's how they did it back then. But he says that we must run so that we may obtain the prize. He's comparing running in the natural sense and running in the spiritual sense. The running of Adam, the running of the life of Jesus in us. He is saying we are all running. We are all running. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The topic for tonight, which will be the theme for the next couple of presentations, is striving for mastery. Striving for mastery. We are all in a race. But in this race, we can all receive a reward. It is not for who comes first, but for all who finish the race. Jesus says when he comes, he's bringing his rewards with him to give to every man according as his work shall be, as his run has been. Revelation 22 and verse 12. So we are all in a race. We are all running. Every other person will tell you they are a Christian. But the Bible says we must run to obtain the prize. Run, Paul says, so run that ye may obtain the prize. You know, in Philippians, he says, he ran, forgetting everything else, and pressing for the price. And his price was the life of Jesus. He said, I forgot the things that are behind, and I press for the things that are in front, that I may obtain the price, who is Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ. He knew what the price was. He knew what that price was. And he was pressing for that prize. He was running for it. He says, we must run that we may obtain the prize. Since there's a prize for everyone. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says to us that we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. And these witnesses are all those who he spoke about in chapter 11. It's as though he is looking at them in a celestial stadium. They have gone before us. They are finished with their race, and they are looking at us running. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we must lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And we must run with endurance. Don't give up. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we must run to obtain the prize. To obtain the prize, we must run with endurance. We must not fall out of the race. This race is not a sprint. It is not for those who could run fast, but for those who will finish what they started. Now, God says he will finish what he started in us if we allow him. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, let us not become weary in well-doing. Let us not become weary in running this race. So in due season, or at the right time, we shall reap if we do not faint. The race is for those who endure to the end. You know what Jesus said? He warned us, you know. He said in Matthew chapter 24, because iniquity or wickedness shall abound in the earth. Matthew 24 verse 12. The love of many will wax cold, would wane. People would give up on the race. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Everyone who endures to finish this race shall be saved. Will receive the prize. So it's not about running faster than someone else. It's about finishing the race. So Paul says you must run with endurance. You know, when you're running a long distance race, you don't start off very fast. You build up so that you have enough energy to finish the race. So many people have come to Christ and they started up with a zeal. And before long, they peter out by the wayside and you can't find them. They have given up the race. But you have to run with endurance, looking to Jesus, keeping focus on Jesus, who is the author or the initiator, the one who started us off. Watch what the Bible says. He is the author and the finisher, but he's also the sustainer. He will not leave us running. He always runs with us. We get into trouble whenever we think of ourselves separated from Jesus. Well, poor me, I'm going through this alone and God doesn't understand what's going on. All right. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus and I, we are one now. His life is in me. I cannot experience anything if Jesus is not also experiencing the same thing. But we miss God because we keep stumbling over ourselves instead of ordering our lives by the life of Jesus who is within us. Jesus, the author, the sustainer, and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is our faith. He is the beginner of our faith. He is the sustainer of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. The last time I checked, the Bible says that I live by the faith of the Son of God. I do not live by the faith of Ruth Van Roy. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because Jesus is the beginner or the author. He is the sustainer and he's the finisher of my faith. For the faith is his. Because he now lives for me. I am not living for him. He lives for me. The Bible says I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, but it is not really I. You're seeing my body, but it's not really I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. So Christ's faith is my faith. And that's why we have to keep our eyes on Christ, not on me, not on my neighbor, not on my brother. Always see Christ. Keep our eyes on the Christ in people. But you won't see the Christ in people if you don't know and understand and live by the Christ in us. Keep focus on him. That's how we run. Keep focus on Jesus. As we encounter difficulties along the way, the Bible tells us to keep focus on Jesus. In verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, consider him. Consider him. Because he endured in his race. He endured the cross. He despised not the shame. He accepted what they placed upon him. He accepted the insults of men. He endured the cross. He paid the shame of the cross no regard. He endured it. And he won. He came to the finish line and he said, it is finished. It is done. I finished the work that I came here to do. And therefore, the Bible says, when we are running and we come up against obstacles, we come up against setbacks, the Bible says for us in verse 3, we must remember him For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So when you are going through something, the Bible says, remember the first runner, Jesus Christ. Take a look at him and ask yourself, am I going through as much as he did? Because all of us who carry his life inside of us will repeat that life. That life will experience hardship because it is in a body that is working against it. It operates in a world that is working against it. The world is not for the life of Jesus in us. We must understand this. The world is against the life of Jesus in us. That's why we cannot love the world and love the life of Jesus in us. It's impossible. And so when discipline comes, when hardship comes, as runners, we don't want to discipline ourselves. But everyone who is a master athlete goes through rigorous training, rigorous discipline, just for a corruptible crown. We just came through the last Olympics that was held in Brazil. And we saw all that people went through training the last 4 years just to qualify. Some got disqualified. They trained very hard. And when the time came for them to execute, some fell while they were running. Some got injured before they could even get in the race. And some who thought they couldn't make it, who did not do the training they should do, dope themselves up to prepare themselves to win. And they're doing all of that for a corruptible crown. Paul says we are running not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible crown, an incorruptible life. That's our crown. The life of Jesus that God is growing and developing inside of us. And he says, because of this, we must be masters at what we do. This is why I'm saying this ministry is to develop people who are mediocre into masters. This is not for ordinary Christianity. This ministry is for people who are serious about using the keys of the kingdom so the power of the kingdom could be manifested in the life. The ministry is to develop the life of Jesus, the victorious life of Jesus, not the weak life of Adam, but to reproduce the life of Jesus. Some people are looking for Christianity that just want them to feel comfortable in what they are doing, and what they are thinking, and what they are feeling. Well, I'm sorry. That's not what God has laid on my heart. God is nurturing the life of Christ in people. He's not sympathizing with Adam of people, but he's nurturing the life of Christ in people. And this ministry is about that. It's about God's purpose. Bible says that all things are working according to his purpose. And his purpose, as expressed in Romans 8 verse 29, is that Christ will be reproduced in every single one of us. We are all running, but many Christians do not know how to run. They have accepted Christ, but they do not know how to run. They were never taught how to run. Some have a misunderstanding of what the race is like. Some are trying to run with the wrong type of gear on. Many professed believers do not know how to run. Paul says you must run so you may obtain a prize. So many who carry the name of Christ are satisfied with a religious experience that leads them the same way day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, doing the same things. They still have the same attitudes, committing the same sins, still falling for the same weaknesses day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They are encumbered by the same fear-ridden, faithless experience. They are still fearful and doubtful, still frustrated and depressed, still faking it, pretending to making it. still being victims instead of being victors. Just can't seem to get over the same set of situations, the same set of people, same set of circumstances, day in, day out. And they say, well, we are praising God and having a good time in the presence of God. And the list goes on. And the life of Jesus Christ is being oppressed in them. I have made up my mind, my life will not be like that. And I will do anything and everything to get what God says I should have in this world through the life of Jesus. We have to know how to run so we can win. Paul says, so run so you may gain the prize. And everyone who strives to win, who strive for the mastery, must be temperate in all things. I'll talk about that in a minute. He said, but I so run, not as uncertain. Some people are running and they don't know where they are going. I so run not as one beating the air. Wow, what does that mean? You know, I remember my experience as a high school distance runner. I had no trainer. I did not even have the right gear. It's amazing. I can't even remember if I used to run with sneakers. I did not have running shoes. I used to run 16 miles twice or three times a week from my home, getting ready for our school sports so that I could win. I got a couple of victories, but I also got many defeats. I had no trainer. I did not know what I was doing. All I knew, I was running. Some people are running and I don't know where they're running. They're not even aware of how they are running. Didn't have the right diet for running. But I did what I knew then. If I call, say, when I was a child, I act as a child. But listen, folk, we were born again in Christ. We were born again babes, but we are not to remain babes. We are to grow up and to become mature Christ, robust and strong, being able to bind the demonic forces in the world and live victoriously for Jesus in the world. Do not subject yourself to a Christianity that is peevish and sensitive and weak and complaining every single day. No, that's not the life that God has ordained for you. We must know how to run so we could win. Paul says, everyone must strive for mastery. We must be good at what we do. Well, I heard a message tonight. It was a good message and that's it. No. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go over this thing. I'm going to review it. I'm going to look over the scriptures again. I must master it. I want to be a master at what I do. I must be a master of who I am in Christ. Don't let Adam rule your life. Mastery means valiant overcomer. Overcoming weaknesses, overcoming obstacles, overcoming situations, overcoming people, etc. The Bible tells me in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God has already overcome the world. We cannot and should not allow the world to overcome us. We must overcome it. Because that's the life we have on the inside. But listen carefully. If we are to overcome the world, we must not be subject to the world. That's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love this world, neither the things that are in the world, the philosophies and the paradigms, the ways of the world. Do not allow the world to set the agenda for your life, the way you think, the way you dress, the way you operate, what you should or should not do. Do not allow the world to be your master. If what is born of God has overcome the world, to overcome the world, you cannot and should not be subject to the world. If you love the world, you cannot overcome it. If I love the world, I cannot overcome it. So some people are trying to live victorious life, but they love the world so much. Their life is like a revolving door. When they think they get a victory, they go right back. because of this love for the world. We must have an overcomer's attitude. We must have a mastering attitude. We are not just any ordinary Christians, no. We must be masters of what we do and who we are. While others may be struggling, you know what? I don't have a struggling day in my life. I cannot tell you the last day I was struggling. But Jesus and me cannot struggle. When you surrender to God every day for God to operate in you, God cannot struggle. If we get our minds right, so we can live right. Everyone who strives for mastery, that's our theme. Striving for mastery. Not ordinary, we want to be masters. Usain Bolt is a master of what he does. They can't beat him. No matter what they do, they try, but he's a master. That's what you call a master. Keeps his eye on the goal and he trains for it. He tunes up his body. He disciplines himself. We are striving for mastery, and our mastery, our goal is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, Matthew 10, 24 and 25, Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. So we must be like Jesus walking up and down. The life of Jesus is to be made manifest in us. So he that striveth to be as Jesus must be temperate in all things. The Bible says it is enough. When I become a master, it is enough. It is enough when I become the mature life of Jesus in this world. Until then, I keep running. I keep running looking at him. Because he is the author and sustainer and finisher of the faith and of the race. I look at him because he is the one who overcome the world. This is what he said in John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, no matter what's going on. In Christ we have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. He did not say you'll have an easy life, because this world is not for his life. This world is against his life. He says, just as they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Just as the world did not like me, it will not like you. Stop trying to get the world to like you. If the world likes you, something is wrong with you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ has already overcome the world. His life is in me. He said of the Satan, listen what he said of Satan. Go to John 14. John 14 verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, that's a pseudonym for Satan, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Satan couldn't find anything for him in Christ. He had nothing in him. So Christ did it. And then he took that life that did it and he gave it to you and to me as our new life. But yet we keep describing ourselves by our old lives. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Our old life is still trying to have faith in him. No, God says that's not it. That old life cannot do anything. You must live by the new life that is given to you, and that's the life that I'm growing in you, and everything about your old life must be subject to the new life. Christ says, I've already overcome the world. If I'm going to master this world, I cannot be subject to the world. If I love the world, then I cannot master the world. If I love the world, I cannot overcome it. Christ is master. Master of earth and sea and sky. Master of death and sin and the grave. He is master, and his life is now mine. So don't tell me I cannot strive for the mastery, because I got the seed of the master in me. Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, it's Christ who now lives. I don't live for Christ, Christ now lives for me. He lives in my body as me. I'll say that again, Christ lives in my body as me. So the life you see manifested in the natural is lived by the faith of Jesus. The Bible tells me in Galatians 4 and verse 6 that I have the spirit of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the spirit of Christ and my spirit are one and the same. So don't tell me I'm living any ordinary Christian life. No. I have the overcomer seed already in me. I have the same overcoming spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith that Jesus has. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells me I have the mind of Christ. So I must turn that mind on and bring every thought under the control of Jesus Christ in me. The mind of Christ must rule my house. So we must know how to run. First of all, we must have an attitude of mastery. We are striving to be masters of who we are in Christ. We must not have an attitude of weakness, but an attitude of victory. And the Bible says, everyone who strives for that mastery must be temperate in all things. What does that word temperate mean? It means self-controlled. What does self-control mean? It means controlling the devil. It means taking all the things of self and bringing those things in subject to Christ. That's what self-control is. Taking that temper that the devil wells up in me and put it under the authority of Christ. Taking that selfishness, that envy, that pride, whatever it is that self reproduces in me, I must control it with the mind of Christ. So being temperate means self-controlled. It means disciplined. It means measured in your attitude and in your behavior. Some people say temperate means just moderation. You could drink, you know, but just drink with moderation. You could do this with moderation. No. Don't let people fool you with that, folk. Just do it in moderation. What is moderation? Moderation for one person is not moderation for another person. You could do anything, you know, but just do it at a little bit. That's the lie of the devil. Temperate means you must be disciplined and you must have self under control of Christ all the time. This is what he said. They must be what? Temperate in all things. Now, here some people go. Well, Christ could control this one, this area of my life, but is he over here? No. He cannot control that. I'm not temperate there. I'll do that as much as I want because that's my thing. How ignorant that is. Person still does not understand who he is or who she is in Christ. Christ must control the entire house. Any part of the house that is not controlled by Christ is controlled by the devil. And so the devil will always be a stumbling block in the way of Christ in us. Everything must go. The will must be given over to God. Christ must rule over every area and everything in my life. I must examine every thought and every attitude I have and see that it's coming from Christ. And if it is not, it must be brought under the will of Christ. Christ must rule. We must be temperate in all things. You know, when people are training for the Olympics, they're not eating any and anything. They are very disciplined. They have strict diets, strict disciplines, strict time for exercise, for rest, and for all these different things. And they do that for a corruptible crown. I want us to understand in this race we are running, there are no shortcuts. And brothers and sisters, there must be no fleshly doping. You know, many athletes are pulled from the Olympics because they took some substance that should not be in their system. They were doping themselves using some type of drug that should not be used by athletes, trying to gain an advantage over other athletes. They did not put the work in, but they are trying these substances to hype up their energy so they can have an advantage over fellow athletes. So it is in the world, so it is in the realms of the spirit. There are many people who are doping themselves in their fleshly ways, trying to gain advantage over others. Some people think that if they get another degree, they'll have an advantage over somebody who doesn't have one. Ha! That's what the world tells people. They are doping their way to victory. But you don't get victory in Christ because you have a degree or because you are skilled in some area. That's the philosophy of the world. Let me say this. In the spiritual realm, we have doping via the philosophies and the ideologies and the ways of the world. That's how Christians dope themselves. And Satan uses the media to dope Christians. And then they come in church and they try to run the Christian race, but using the dope of the world. Well, they change the lyrics of the song. So the lyrics is for Jesus, but the music is for the devil. They are doping and trying to win the race. But we cannot dope our way to victory in this race. We cannot use worldly methods in the kingdom of God. And that's why some people are praying for stuff and they can't have them, because they have some worldly things going on in there that will tip up what God is trying to produce. So we have to know how to run. We must strive for mastery. In other words, we must aim to be the best that God wants us to be. We must be temperate or self-controlled or disciplined. You know, I have a time for prayer. I have a time for my spiritual exercise. I have my time for my diet that I must eat the word of God. I must be disciplined with those things because I'm striving for the mastery. I'm running to win. I'm not no ordinary mamby-pamby Christian. I am the life of Jesus in a human body. Listen what Paul says. He says, I so run, not as uncertain. We must be certain because we know who we are in Christ. He said, I'm not running as one who is uncertain. I'm running with focus because I know who I am. He says, I fight, not as one that beats the air. Have you ever seen a boxer when he's training? He's running down the sidewalk and he's throwing punches at the air. Throwing punches at the air. Paul said, that's not me. He said, I'm not fighting as one who is just beating air or boxing air. And so many Christians are beating the air. We call it shadow boxing. The Bible calls it chasing after the wind. They are beating themselves, chasing after the things of this world. They are striving after wind. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14. He says, I've examined everything under the sun. And I've come to this conclusion. It's vanity and striving after the wind. That's why John says, all that is in the world, everything that the world tells us we should have and strive for, he says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They are not of God, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. So how are you running, brothers and sisters? How are you running this race? Do you have mastery in your thinking? Or are you comfortable in just being, well, you know, I'm a part of this ministry, and I'm a Christian, and I'm looking for God to do this for me and that for me? Is that the level of your Christianity? God says it's time to move from that level and be a master. You should not be falling over the same stuff over and over again. You should not be complaining about the same stuff over and over again. Something is wrong. We must be masters now. We must have the attitude of a master, the attitude of an overcomer, because we have the seed of the overcomer in us. Stop making excuse for flesh and discipline the spirit. Be a master. Be temperate. Be disciplined. Put self under control. Listen to what Paul says. He says, look, I am not beating the air, but I keep under my body. In other words, I'm not giving my body a chance. That's what he means by keep under his body. He says, I'm not giving up my body a chance, but I bring it in subjection. I take control of it. I'm not allowing this body to control me one bit because I know what it's about. I live in this house, and this house should not control me. I will control it. That's why he tells us in Romans chapter 6, don't allow the members of your body to become instruments of unrighteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you. We must be masters because God has given us the seed of the master. We must be masters. He says, I keep under my body. I am not giving my body a chance. And I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means that while I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. And so my brothers and sisters, we are striving for mastery. This is where we are moving in this ministry. We want to see a manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The world has been waiting for this for a long, long time. We make the confession, but now we must live this confession. The world must see the manifestation of the Father in me, the manifestation of my Savior in me. We must keep our body under strict control. Quit running around with weights, the different attitudes and behaviors and thinking. Stop running around with weights. Lay aside the weights and let the mind of Christ be your mind. Let your mind be governed by the Word of God, not by just emotions and how you feel about things, but what the Word of God says about things. I must search the Word and find out. I must be a master over this body. I must know. Then we must exercise ourselves unto godliness, as 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says. So in closing, we'll talk some more about how we keep this body in subjection, how we keep after this body to control it. But let me just say this here to prepare you for this word. You and your body are two separate entities. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. The body needs the spirit to move it. The body cannot move on its own unless spirit activates it. So don't allow the body to control who you are and who you are is a spirit from God. And so we'll talk about keeping the body under control, gain mastery of the body so that you can run this race. We take the weights off. We train with weights, but when the time comes for running, we take the weights off. We want to be light so we could run with endurance. And so as we close tonight, we are entering into a phase of this ministry where we are seeking for mastery. We are seeking for maturity so we can handle the keys that God has given to us, so we can be authoritative forces to reckon with in the world. We can stay where we are and speak to a situation across the seas and see it take effect because we are masters at what we do. We can bind the devil and see him under chains because we are masters of what we do. Our goal is to strive for mastery, not just to be ordinary, but to be extraordinary. And by the grace of God, we must and we will be extraordinary. I decided a long time ago, this is going to be the part of my life. I'm not going to be any ordinary Christian, ordinary pastor, just working for some church. No, just drawing a salary. No. I got to be a master at what I do, a master over the life that God has given to me. And everyone who strives for the mastery must be disciplined in all things. Every area of the life must be given to God and allow God to take full control and do what he wishes with us. And so tonight, I make a very simple appeal as I pray for us in closing. If you are tired of going through a round of activity and you really want to see the power of God manifested in your life, to see when you speak in the name of Jesus, that your words are not empty nothings, but your word has the power of the life of Jesus behind it, because the faith of Jesus is driving it. You know, this is available to everybody. I'll give you an experience. I got several calls this week. People are calling. Some people I don't even know, but somebody told them and they called me. Some time ago, the Lord healed somebody from cancer. He used me to speak the word over the person, but God healed the person. I don't know the lady. I've never met her. I don't even know who she is. But that is not any consequence. Doesn't matter. The power of the life of Jesus is what matters. Now, this situation, this lady works in an office with a number of other people. And one day, they at lunchtime, they all huddled in one room, and they called me and asked me to speak a word and pray for this lady who was diagnosed with cancer. And I did that, and the Spirit of God worked a miracle in that woman's life. She was healed from cancer. She is well today. She's rejoicing. That's a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago or more. I got a call this week. Somebody who used to work in that office is now working somewhere else. And they called her from that office and they called to this person who used to work there and said, could you call your pastor and ask him to pray for us? We want to bring the folk in the office together because somebody here is going for surgery and he wants your pastor to pray for them. So that is to be organized this week. I'm saying this. If you want your life to be controlled by the power of God, we must develop the mind for mastery. We are running this race and we are striving for mastery. We're going to be overcomers. We are going to do whatever it takes. Embrace the life of Jesus within. Keep feeding that life. Be disciplined by that life and allow the power of that life to be made manifest in me. Wherever I go, God will draw people to himself in me. Wherever you go, God will draw people to himself in you because you are mastering the life of Jesus. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master. That's the goal. That's the goal of this ministry. And so, my brothers and sisters, it is my desire for all of us to be masters, sons of the living God, daughters of the living God, that as we go out into the world, the power of the life of Jesus will be made manifest in all of us. If this is your desire with me, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I want you to bow your heads or to kneel down, however you want to pray with me. I'm going to say this prayer over you, but I pray for myself as we close. We have heard your voice, Lord Jesus, and our hearts respond with joy. Father, we know that you have not saved us to be victims in this world, to be always under the pressure and under the thumb of the devil and his imps. But you have saved us to be victorious because whatever is born of you have already overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world and we now have his life. We no longer live, it is his life that now lives in us. May our faith, the faith of Jesus in us, embrace this life. May we live from this reality of who we are in Christ, not who we are trying to become, but who we are. And may the words which we have heard tonight not only resonate with us, but reproducing us the work that needs to be done, the focus that we need to have, the mindset that we need to have. We quit giving excuses for Adam and the weaknesses of our flesh and keep speaking the word of God in the name of Jesus. Remember every person here tonight, Lord, every ear that has heard my voice. May the word that they have heard take effect, and may the life of Jesus in each person respond with a spurt growth, with a conviction, with a determination to strive for mastery, to be self-disciplined, to keep self under control to the power of Christ, so that the life of Jesus Christ will be manifested in all of us. Whatever your purpose is for this ministry, Father, we know you have brought to this ministry those whom you need to be here. And we pray that by the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, that your purpose for this ministry be realized, that men and women, boys and girls everywhere will experience the touch of your grace and of your power, and the world will be filled with the glory of God and the knowledge of God. We thank you for hearing our prayer tonight. Now may your grace, your peace, and your love continue to rest and abide with us, both now and forevermore. Let everybody say, Amen.